Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Due to budget issues, Eric's been replaced by a cranky secondhand robot named Dr. Nuts and Bolts.
We assume you won't mind, but if sparks shoot out your radio, you'll know why.
So stand back.
And now, here's Eric 2.0.
Hey, thanks, Todd. I appreciate it. Folks, you know this is the program about everything. The Eric Metaxas Show purports to be the program about everything. And I realize that, you know, in the scheme of things, I haven't had a whole lot of Polish people on the program, and since Polish people and Poland fall under the rubric of everything, I needed to remedy that. So I looked around, and lo and behold, I found a guy who is Polish. His name is Dr. Andrzej Turkanek. He is, in fact, a native of Poland. He was born and raised during the communist era in Poland. He has degrees in music and art. In Poland, as well as theology degree from Germany, and then he got a PhD in Oriental Studies from Cambridge University. Needless to say, I'm impressed. He heads up something called the Quo Vadis Institute. They say that they're dedicated to helping ask the questions as to what true human flourishing means in the changing societal landscape in Europe and the Western world. And they also ask how cultural renewal can be stimulated. Sounds like a man after my own heart, Dr. Andrzej Turkanek. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Thanks very much, Eric. It's a joy to be here.
Your most important credential is that you are friends with some of my dearest friends in the world. Oh, sit a little bit closer to the microphone. Mm-hmm. You're friends with my friend Marcus Spieker. Marcus, I dedicate my Luther book to him and also to Greg Thornbury. He is a tremendous friend. And Jay Helvey in Winston-Salem, the New Canaan Society. We have many connections. Mm-hmm. I know we met briefly, but we haven't really sat down and talked. You have a lot to say. How many degrees do you have? I got confused realizing that I'm counting these in my head and it can't be possible.
There are not that many of them. There was a period of life when I started collecting them, but then it kind of got old very quickly. But I do like, I have an incurable appetite to find how things work.
Yeah.
And so I have been, since very early childhood, interested in different things. And people said, you need to concentrate. So I did, got a degree, and then moved on.
So you just keep getting these degrees.
I did. I stopped at some point.
Well, I mean, it's just impressive that you have a degree in music and art. You have a degree in theology, and then you have a degree in Oriental Studies from Cambridge University. I think just living in Cambridge would be fun. But why Oriental Studies?
So the degree which I did was on connection between the ancient world of Alexandria. It was on the first translation of scriptures from Hebrew into Greek, Septuagint. And I was interested in this study because it was not only a question of looking at the ancient document and just comparing manuscripts. Actually, it was diving into somebody's mind who worked 1,000 years ago and looking at how his amazing skill set, consisting probably of some just little pieces of not even a paper, but papyrus, how he was able to work out what he did without cut and paste, without any computer systems, without any dictionaries, and how wonderful he was able to bridge two languages that actually don't meet normally, an Oriental language like Hebrew and a Western language like Greek.
Okay, so what year, roughly, what century are we talking about?
So we're talking about probably 200 to 150 years before Christ.
and he was translating the Old Testament, which is obviously in Hebrew, into Greek,
yes,
which became the Septuagint, as we now call it.
It's a little more complicated than this, but let's leave it at that. That's a sort of...
I'm a simple man. Let's leave it at that. you currently live in Mittersill, Austria, which is near Salzburg. You and your wife have three children, and you do a lot of speaking. And this thing called the Quo Vadis Institute, I see the website is qvinstitute.org, qvinstitute.org. I think that what I have tried to do in Socrates in the City over the years is similar to what you do at the Quo Vadis Institute, but I don't want to assume. So tell us a little bit more about the QV Institute.
Mm. Thank you. So several years ago, several friends who've been looking at the societal landscape in Europe and recognizing that it is changing rapidly. We don't know in which direction it is going, but we know a little bit of history and we know what trends have been able to develop from two. So we call this place a common space for interaction with both past and future, but right now connecting relationally thought leaders in Europe and asking this question, which in Latin is quo vadis, where are we going as society? And we thought it's important actually to press a pause button. Everybody's running so quickly, things are changing so rapidly around us. So let's just ask this question, where are we going? And before we rush into do something, actually reflect on where we've come from and where is the trajectory taking us.
Well, it's interesting, of course, because Europe is today distinctly post-Christian. And of course, what is it that created the Europe we know? There's no question. The most important thing is the Christian faith. I mean, you can't really discuss Europe unless you look at it historically and you say it's the Christian faith that held all these disparate cultures together. And right now, I mean, the EU in their constitution, I would say rather pointedly omitted mention of God. So you begin to want to ask the question, what do you believe in? What is Europe? And how do you function in a culture that doesn't really know, that isn't willing to talk about transcendent issues explicitly?
Mm-hmm. You're right. This is a big question that has been asked of people within the European Union for a while. Why have you not wanted to bring into the Constitution a mention of God? And the truth is that actually, for some people, it is not as important to have it in writing as it is important actually to live it out.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who have very strong commitment to Christian faith, who are within structures of European Union, and they say, you know, it is important for us actually to be able to show that a love of God is possible, even if we don't say it in writing. But I do agree that it would have been very nice, and in fact there were several attempts previously to locate it there, but it was torpedoed.
I think that it's intellectually dishonest not to mention it from a historical perspective. In other words, you don't have to be a Christian, but you do have to acknowledge historically there can be no discussion of Europe without acknowledging the common Christian history, even if this history is checkered and difficult, to not acknowledge that, it's troubling, because I think that there are people who they have certain views and they're kind of uncomfortable with reality. They try to edit things. And I think, look, this is real. Just put it in there and you can have different views, or you can even acknowledge your feelings of how this is complicated when you mention it. But you've got to mention it. So it is very strange they didn't mention it. I don't know if you're familiar with the book by George Weigel, The Cube and the Cathedral.
Absolutely, yes.
We had him at Socrates in the City some years ago speaking on that. But it's really dramatic when you think that Europe used to be these cathedrals and now – in a way, the cube in Paris, this building, more typifies the worldview that's coming out of Europe.
Well, I would like to come back to this at some point because there's actually some very interesting signs of renewal. But to your point about the European history, actually, a lot of the things that are being rewritten, including the whole question of the European Union's origins, is very important because, and I have a little paper which we've produced on who won the peace on Europe after the Second World War. The idea is very interesting. People who were at the beginning of formulation of what became the European Union were men of faith.
Oh, that's interesting. We're going to go to break. I want to start there when we come back from the break. Folks, I'm talking to Dr. Andrzej Trkanek. The website is qvinstitute.org. We'll be right back.
Kentucky, the plains where I was born and raised. The place where he was born and raised.
Are you ready for an inspiring story that reminds us we're never too young to make an impact?
Phoenix, over here!
Phoenix Wilder and the Great Elephant Adventure.
Nothing can stop us!
An orphan boy, Phoenix Wilder, befriends a giant elephant on the African savannah and defeats poachers.
This boy will bring us a huge ransom.
Let me go.
One night only at a theater near you this Monday night. Phoenix Wilder and the Great Elephant Adventure. Rated G. Click PhoenixWilder.com.
Has Jesus been misquoted, and can we really trust the Bible? Find out in Fragments of Truth, a new documentary presented by Faith Life Films and Fathom Events in movie theaters nationwide for one night, April 24th.
How good are the manuscripts on which the New Testament is based?
Where did we find them? Where are they housed today?
Discover groundbreaking new research on the most ancient manuscripts of the New Testament and learn from the experts who know them best, featuring Bible scholars Dr. Craig A. Evans and Dr. Dan Wallace, and narrated by John Rhys-Davies of The Lord of the Rings.
Some have said that the text has been deliberately changed. We're going to look at the actual text that survived from antiquity, and we're going to talk to the experts who know best.
During this month before the premiere, we'll have the Bible scholars on my show to talk about the movie and their thoughts about making this movie.
We want to get to the truth of it, to separate fact from fiction, sober scholarship from sensationalism.
Get your tickets today for the one night only April 24th national premiere at fragmentsoftruthmovie.com. That's fragmentsoftruthmovie.com.
Protecting data across modern decentralized networks presents challenges that traditional backup solutions can't handle. At best, you'll waste time and money managing multiple solutions. At worst, gaps in coverage will leave your data vulnerable. Barracuda Backup is a single cloud-integrated solution that simplifies the backup process and allows data replication to anywhere on your network, a private cloud, Barracuda's cloud, or to the AWS public cloud. Reclaim your data. Try Barracuda Backup free at barracuda.com/backup.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. We make the Solaire Infrared Grills, which are the best designed grills available. Solaire Infrared Grills are not overburdened with features and components that are known to fail outdoors. You know what these are. Lights inside and outside of the grill, gauges, and anything with an LCD screen. Bluetooth? These are the top service issues and sources of consumer dissatisfaction with their grills, so you won't find any of these on a Solaire Infrared Grill. Solaire focuses on those things most important in a grill, like great grilling performance, ease of serviceability, simple design, quality components and materials, excellent fit and finish, and a burner system that produces foods that rival top restaurants. They're made in the USA, backed with the confidence of a 100-year-old family business. Solaire is truly the last grill you'll ever buy. Learn more at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com. Solaire Infrared at besthotgrill.com.
Hi, T. Hewitt for ReaganPrivacy.com. Imagine a politician saying this today. I have wondered at times what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through the U.S. Congress. That's a quote from Ronald Reagan. He showed us through his life, his faith, and with his words that Judeo-Christian values and principles matter. You can help spread the legacy of Ronald Reagan. You can do it by getting a Reagan email address. Right now, if you have a Gmail, AOL, Yahoo, or other big tech company email address, you help them market their service with every email you send. In return, they scan your emails and target you with unwanted advertising. Thanks to our sponsor, ReaganPrivacy.com, you can instead share the Reagan name with every email you send. And they won't scan your emails. They will leave you alone. Get an email address that you'll be proud to own at ReaganPrivacy.com. Your very own personal private email address is available to you at ReaganPrivacy.com. Go get your Reagan email address right now at ReaganPrivacy.com. That's ReaganPrivacy.com.
cha-cha d'amour. Take this song to my lover. Shoo, shoo, little bird. Go and find my love.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We are talking with Dr. Andrzej Turkanek. He heads up the Quo Vadis Institute. QVInstitute.org is the website. But, Andrzej, you are here in New York City because of something very close to my heart called the New Canaan Society. I know that you're aware of it through our mutual friends, the Epperson family in the Winston-Salem area, Jay Helvey, and you're here in New York. And you're going to speak in Connecticut, where that's where it all started, New Canaan. But you're here on this radio program to discuss something really extraordinary. I'm just so impressed with the QV Institute, the Quo Vadis Institute. And you said before we went to the break that some of the people who were behind bringing together the idea of the European Union had faith backgrounds.
Thank you, Eric. This is actually very important, I think, to remember some of the details that kind of got lost in the history almost. So the American Lutheran evangelist, Frank Buchmann, who went to Europe.
I know who this is. I actually mentioned him in my Bonhoeffer book.
You do.
He's from in the 30s.
Yes. Moral rearmament.
Yeah. He's a fascinating figure because I think he was kind of naive in some ways, but at the same time, I'm drawn to him. Tell us about him.
So you're right. He is also a conflicted figure. But what Buchmann, in his naivety, what he did was he brought together some of the key people right after the war, when there was hatred, when there was an impossible situation in Europe, bringing the eternal enemies, French and Germans. And he brought Robert Schumann, not the composer, but he was a foreign minister at some point, also the prime minister of France, who was a very keen believer. He brought him together with Konrad Adenauer, who was the German chancellor. And these two men, on their knees, promised that they would fight for reconciliation. And this is really the beginning of the European Union.
That's extraordinary. I've not heard that. I'm not surprised I haven't heard that, because these things tend to be edited out of the larger narrative, which tends to be secular. But I had no idea that that Adenauer, you know, was willing to be praying on his knees with somebody who had been a recent enemy, and that it's hopeful. But I didn't know Frank Buchmann had a role in that.
So there is a whole organization that was devoted to this kind of reconciliation, and are beautiful stories about people driving in buses. There were, I don't know how many buses, driving throughout Germany in the post-war time, bombed out cities, and people coming together and bringing reconciliation. There's theater, there's music. And what I find fascinating, one of those stories, one of the French parliamentarians, a lady who was a socialist, and she could not stand for Germans because of what they did to not only to her country but to her family. It was through Buchmann that she came to understand that reconciliation through faith is possible. And so she joined these groups, and there were these buses going throughout Germany. And you know what the message was? Please forgive us for hating you.
This is incredible. It's funny because Bonhoeffer was, obviously, before he died, he was in favor of these kinds of things. He was in favor of German national repentance. In other words, not let's broker a good deal for us in Germany, but let's abase ourselves before the people we have harmed, and let's throw ourselves on their mercy and on God's mercy. We forget, I think many people in the West, and especially in America, forget the tremendous Christian roots all throughout Europe, and especially in Germany. And even when you have somebody like Angela Merkel letting in a million refugees, I think it's an absurd thing to do. But the reason she did it stems from biblical values, that we have to love those whom we have harmed. We have to try to make amends. And I think that Germany is still to this day, there's no question, still feeling the guilt of what happened in the 30s and the 40s. And I think that that's appropriate. And how you deal with it is important. But it's important for us to acknowledge that there is a lot of faith in Europe. In fact, I know my mother grew up in East Germany. And the wall coming down and all of that started because of churches in Leipzig. I know this mainly because of my friend Marcus Speaker.
Exactly.
But the Christian faith has played a huge role in Germany and in Europe.
And this is another one of those things that I think needs highlighting, actually, even for the sake of it being a full story. That what we hear is not just a single line of story, but to have it the fullness of it, we need to recognize the importance of faith for bringing down the wall dividing both the nations and also dividing the continent, really.
Well, when people have grown up in the communist world and dealt with communism firsthand, as you have and my mother has, my father has to some extent in Greece, I respect you and I'm very interested in what you have to say, because it's very easy for people to theorize who haven't experienced suffering and the reality of the communist world, which was profoundly atheistic. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, let's not kid ourselves. They did not allow faith, generally speaking, or they really had a very strong distaste for faith, depending on what country we're talking about. But you grew up in that world.
I did. And actually, I find it fascinating that many people I talk to today say, commu what? People don't remember what communism was. Well, it makes me old.
Excuse me while I go kill myself.
It is fascinating.
That's sick. Really sick. That's really sick. I mean, what kind of school, what are American schools teaching?
This is not, this is not about America. This is people in Europe. I think part of the problem that we have is that people want to move on. There's been so much talk about, you know, we need to work through our war experiences. We need to talk about Nazism. We need to talk about communism. And people are tired now. And I think it is used against them at some point where people say, okay, forget history. You know, look at America. Everybody's going forward. We need to do the same thing.
But you can't go forward unless you know how to go forward. What are the principles upon which you build the road going forward?
Well, that's what I would argue. But I think we are in minority, Eric.
But I mean, to say I want to go forward, it's kind of like what the Germans said when you asked them during the Weimar Republic, what do you want? Well, we want strong leadership. We don't have leadership, right? Well, what kind of a leader do you want? Well, we want a strong leader, a leader who leads. Well, they got one. His name was Adolf Hitler. Yeah. You have to ask not whether the leader is strong, but where is the leader leading? What are the principles of leadership? What are the principles of government? What are the principles of life? If you don't ask those questions, you're just stumbling forward and you pretend that you have no ideology. But of course, you do have an ideology. I mean, the idea that progress is all good is a hollow, false ideology.
And Eric, this is why I think the title of our organization, Quo Vadis, is so important for us in Europe. In fact, with many people, I don't even have to explain what we do. I say Quo Vadis Institute and people say, oh,
well,
because
they know Latin. But tell us again what Quo Vadis is.
So Quo Vadis is an old Latin saying that actually has been used in many different circumstances. Our Polish Nobel Prize winner Henryk Sienkiewicz wrote the novel.
Most people know it
from the
book and the movie,
yes.
Quo Vadis.
Yes.
But it means literally, where are we going?
Where are we going? Yeah. And it's a story that has been used many, many times over to ask those poignant questions and really make you stop and pause before you make the next step, because it could be too late.
Yeah. Well, communism, you know, anybody who's lived through communism knows that it's very important to understand why the communist ideology is wrong, not to just move on, because if you just move on, every generation will have the same stupid utopianist leanings and yearnings, which can lead to more communism or lead to a different kind of fascism or totalitarianism. No generation is exempt. And so you really have to understand the principles that make communism wicked and anti-human.
So what I have in my own experience is a fascinating heritage. I come from a family. My grandfather was a convinced communist. He actually went after the revolution. He went to help bring about a socialist communist state in Soviet Union, believe it or not.
And what year are we talking about?
Well, this is, I don't remember exactly. It must have been before, way before the Second World War.
Yeah.
Anyway, he went there and he was so zealous for communism that the people there said, "Wow, this guy is dangerous." So they put him in a gulag.
Oh, for crying out loud. When we come back, we're going to continue this fascinating conversation. My guest is Dr. Andrzej Turkanek. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Stick around.
What happened? You used to go hours without visiting the bathroom. Now it seems like you're constantly getting up to go, and you're even getting up at night to go. This is not okay. Listen, the makers of Super Beta Prostate, the number one prostate formula, are introducing a new wonder pill, Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced, with three key ingredients that are great for your prostate. It's like taking three prostate supplements in one. To celebrate, we're sending free bottles to men who want to cut down on bathroom trips. Yes, your first 30-day supply is free. Pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-255-1120. Early research suggests that an ingredient in P3 Advanced may help support a normal prostate size. Combine that with a reduction in bathroom trips, and you have a formula you'd be crazy not to try. Get P3 Advanced free. Call 1-800-255-1120. 1-800-255-1120. 1-800-255-1120.
How much do you spend on your pest control each year? $200, $300, or even $500 or more? What if I said you could spend less than $25 a year, even less with promo code SAVE20? Then listen up. G'day, I'm Scott from Plug In Pest Free, and yes, it is possible to rid your home or business of unwanted pests for less than $25 per year. The answer is Plug In Pest Free. Our bestseller, the Plug-in Pest-Free Pro, will cover up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. For just a one-time cost of only $249, even less with promo code SAVE20, you'll be pest-free for years to come. Log on to gopestfree.com today. Use promo code SAVE20 and start driving those pests away. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget. Gopestfree.com. That's go. Pestfree.com, promo code SAVE20.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about,
hey folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Dr. Andrzej Turkanek, a native of Poland, currently lives in Salzburg, Austria, and heads up the Quo Vadis Institute, qvinstitute.org. You were just saying, Andrzej, that your grandfather was such a zealous communist that the communists couldn't take it and they put him in the gulag.
That's exactly right.
I've never heard such a thing.
Yeah, I never did either. This is a story where we keep asking my mom. This is my mom's dad. Are you sure this story is true? And yes, so he was there somewhere beyond the Ural Mountains in Siberia, and somebody there gave him a copy of scripture.
In the Soviet gulag? In the 20s or 30s.
And he began to think, and he somehow got out. He walked back home. I don't know how long. Anyway,
you hear these stories, right? People walk back from Siberia to Poland.
Yeah. And when he got home, he was a changed man. So I got to know him when he was an older gentleman. I know one thing: he lost fear of anything and everything that could harm him.
It's just like Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He came to his Christian faith in the Soviet gulag. Mm. The first chapter of Chuck Colson's book, Loving God, tells that story. You wouldn't think that people could come to faith. I mean, I would say this backfires for the Soviets.
It really does. And I've heard many stories that kind of recapitulate the same idea is when things go really hard, people start asking questions, and God is there.
Wow.
And so my grandfather made this huge impression on me when I was growing up. He always would say, young man, when you read history, when you are taught things in communist school, when you look outside the window, you need to realize this is not real. This is manufactured reality. It's fake news, basically.
And what did he mean by that exactly?
He meant by this that what you're hearing is twisted.
In other words, in Poland, in communist culture of Poland, when you were growing up, he said, this is not real.
This is not real. And so because the history we were taught, the things we were told to read reflected ideology so much that, you know, it was just in your face so much.
It's propaganda.
It was propaganda from the beginning.
But
to
he
the
had
end.
The guts, after having come home from the gulag, to say these things in a communist culture. Most people would be afraid to say such things.
He did. And I honored it then, and I only can see the importance of it so much more today.
Did he ever tell you about life in the gulag?
No, we never talked about this. I was maybe too young, and then there were other things that I was interested in. He was a farmer, so it was horses and cows and all these things. But I know this more through my mom and how she has experienced him to be devoted to a completely different thing, and that was he found out that in his Christian faith, in his understanding of who God is through Jesus Christ, there is a fulfillment of everything he was longing for.
So did he go to church in Poland?
He not only had gone to church in Poland, he started planting churches.
Now, this seems to me that this is illegal.
Absolutely, it was illegal, and so he was imprisoned later on in Poland as a professing Christian.
Wow!
And but then it kind of went on in my own family. So my parents ran an underground seminary for 30 years, and our home was a place of smuggling Bibles. You know, one of my earliest memories as a kid was I never was taught English when I was a small child. I was just taught one sentence. My parents are not at home. They will be back by 7. So when I saw a Western looking gentleman or a lady together outside the window, you know, we'd never open the door, but they would say something, and that's what I would reply to them, and they would say okay, and I never saw them again. Well, because my parents would shield me and my brother from what was going on,
uh-huh.
And so then in the evening, a car would pull behind the house, and the Bibles would be unloaded, and the next morning they would take the Bibles into the next.
You want to talk about courage. This is courage.
Absolutely.
Wow. I can't imagine what it's like to. Now, what part of Poland? The northern part of Poland?
This was in southern part of Poland.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because, of course, Bonhoeffer ran an underground seminary in the northern part of what's today Poland. I visited it. This is Finkenwalde.
Yes.
And then, it's Finkenwalde, but it's today just over the border.
Yeah.
In Poland. The only time I've been to Poland was doing some filming there for this Bonhoeffer documentary that we put together. But it's hard for us to believe that, you know, someone fairly young like you have experienced
this. It's been a long time since anybody said that.
I think we're around the same age, so I have to think of you as young. But it does strike me as amazing that you grew up in that reality. I mean, the wall didn't come down or this. It was, you know, 1990, effectively speaking. I mean, it's extraordinary. It's quite recent.
But what I have also remembered from the story, Eric, and it sort of takes me to today, is the grandfather always said about, it is very easy to see who's who today. It's very easy to distinguish what is truth and what is not if you've got eyes to see.
Mm.
But he says, I'm afraid there will be a day when it'll be really difficult to see through.
Okay, now I want to come back to that when we come back from our break. Folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show, our website, metaxastalk.com. Speaking with Dr. Anjay Turkanek. We'll be right back.
Called Chuck with a girl named Linda Lou.
Hey, Al
Albin.
Hey, Eric.
Albin, are you skeptical when somebody says something can help
sometimes,
you?
Sometimes, yeah, sure.
Well, me too. Relief Factor.
Yes.
As you know, we advertise Relief Factor on this program. I was initially skeptical. I thought, they want me to advertise something. I don't know. Does it work? So I started to take it, right?
Okay.
And my acne cleared up. No, that's not true. But the fact is that I have had pain because I run, okay? And even though I was skeptical, I tried it. And you have to try it for 2 to 3 weeks in case – sometimes it works right away. But there are 4 different chemicals or chemicals, whatever they are, active ingredients. And sometimes they take longer. But for me, it worked, and it's why I take it. If you have any aches and pains, folks, I challenge you to try it. It's $19.95. It's very little. And I think I can go out on a limb and say it probably will work. If you have any kind of aches, but it doesn't have to be like searing, horrible pain. But if you have some kind of, you know, arthritic stuff, I would try it. You go to relieffactor.com, $19.95 for the quick start pack, relieffactor.com.
A one-night event.
He just arrived. He cannot survive alone.
We will find him.
Phoenix Wilder and the Great Elephant Adventure.
Nothing can stop us.
An inspiring story for the entire family.
These are very bad men. They're killing elephants.
The story of a 13-year-old orphan, Phoenix Wilder, who befriends an elephant on the African savannah.
I think this means we're friends now.
And together, they battle elephant poachers.
Let's go.
One night only at a theater near you this Monday night. Click phoenixwilder.com.
Freedom. One nation in all of human history was built on that bedrock. Ours. A republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. Self-government requires freedom. Just as freedom requires an individual willingness to self-govern. Freedom has made America exceptional. But it can only last as long as you and I seek the good, as expressed by the laws of nature and nature's God. It can only last if you and I choose to act as people of character. Forging character has been the pursuit of Hillsdale College since 1844. Hillsdale College forges character and elevates civic discourse both on campus and nationwide. To find out how you can take their free online courses or receive a complimentary subscription to Imprimis, a monthly speech digest, visit hillsdalefreedom.com. That's hillsdalefreedom.com.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and bad tweets can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. Reputation.com can protect your good name. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. Call 800-651-4888. 800-651-4888.
If credit card debt has you down, nonprofit Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees, and drastically reduce your interest. You'll pay thousands less than you originally owed. It's not a loan. It's a way to become debt-free and possibly improve your credit score. So call Trinity and talk to a certified counselor. They'll explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. Are you ready to pay off your credit cards in less time for less money? Then call for a free no-obligation debt analysis and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
Really like to continue listening to Karen Carpenter, but I've got this radio show. It's really a talk show. I'm not spinning the platters. I'm not Wolfman Jack, folks. I'm not Cousin Brucey. I'm Eric Metaxas. I'm talking to Dr. Anjay Turkanek. Anjay, you just said something. Your grandfather, who had been to the gulag, who found faith, said to you that, you know, maybe now you can see clearly about the difference between false what's false and what's true, someday it will become difficult. What did he mean by that, do you think?
So I think he meant that when prosperity hits, when there's all kinds of possibilities there, it is so much more difficult to distinguish what is illusion and what is real.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, you just said it. When people are suffering horribly, they think about the meaning of life. Who am I? Is there a God who cares? Am I alone? What's the point of living? You think about those things when you're suffering. When you're happy and distracted, you tend not to.
No, and this has been one of the things that really helped me from very early on to be questioning, what am I seeing? The environment always needs to be taken in its context and to examine that and to see, you know, is this something that is there a wool being pulled over my eyes?
Right.
Or am I seeing something clearly? And of course, it is very, very important, I think, for people in today's America to be able to distinguish what is true and what is a propaganda of a sort or just branding maybe.
Oh, there's no question. And I think that, you know, I've talked about this a lot, that there is a worldview that most of the cultural elites in the West and in America, obviously, hold to. And it's a secularist view of reality. But it's more than that. I think it falls along the lines of the sexual revolution that's now about 50 years ago. But there are certain shibboleths, to use the biblical term, that you can't say this, you must say this. If you don't have this view, you're out. That is a kind of fascist lockstep. In other words, if you're not really free to ask questions, then something is wrong, because freedom means I don't have to be afraid. I can ask questions. I can voice my concerns and things. And I do think that in the West today, I know it's true in Europe and I know it's true here, particularly in places like New York, there's certain things you mustn't say or certain things you mustn't believe. And more when you voice those things, people treat you as though we can't associate with this person, you know. And Trump has, of course, stirred this up, and things are much more divided. But it's worrisome to me.
We have similar situation in Europe. In fact, for many people, it is very difficult to say anything they would want to, because there's on top of ideology, we also have historical issues.
Yeah.
And so it's very interesting in conversations with people across the borders. It is tremendously complex. What we try to do through our organization is actually gather people together and try to see what are the common denominators that we find.
Right.
And many of them work along the lines of, we talk about work. We talk about professional guilds. So we gather people to talk, among themselves as lawyers, as medical professionals, as artists, as journalists. And we ask those questions, what contributes to human flourishing in your arena? Or actually, what is detrimental? And is there a way of renewing this?
Well, that's extraordinary. How long have you, when did you start, I should say, the Quo Vadis Institute?
We started it in 2010. There's been a lot of work on the working theory of this, trying to figure out, do we have the right ingredients in a conversation? But so far, we have been tremendously encouraged by people saying, we need this kind of thing. And it's not just conversation, blah, blah, blah. It's actually delving into the most important and deep conversation that transforms one's thinking.
Yeah, and there's so many big issues facing Europe right now. The Brexit movement, I thought, very interesting, that there seem to be people, and it's sort of the same in the U.S., that they feel that their needs are not being met, their concerns are not being heard by the so-called cultural elites, and there's a kind of rebellious feeling that, mm-hmm. that we're angry that you have not been paying attention to us. You've denigrated us. You've told us to shut up, to stuff our concerns, and we refuse. And there's still enough ability in the governmental structure to rebel. And I think Brexit and the Trump election were symptoms of that. Wherever mm-hmm. you come out on the details, I think that there are many people in Europe, as time has passed, they have said somehow the elites in Brussels, they don't really understand what we're thinking about. And that to me is a big problem for Europe today.
It is. But as you have pointed out, Eric, actually similar things are happening in this country and all over the world. And I think this is not just an issue. It is. Elites is part of the issue, but it's not everything. I think the complexity, the speed, the social speed of our world is such that it is very difficult for people to get any kind of feel for reality. And so this is why everybody's crying, well, give me a simple answer. And this is where populists come and say, hey, I know the way.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Just trust me.
Yeah. Well, some populists are better than others. It's an interesting thing because people automatically associate populism with nationalism. And then you have to ask the question, what's wrong with nationalism? I would argue there's nothing wrong fundamentally with it, but it can go wrong very quickly if you don't understand what is good nationalism. We should all be proud. I should be proud to be an American.
Yeah.
But being proud to be an American doesn't mean I put other countries down. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, when we say we put America first, does this mean that I have to take care of myself so that I am prepared to help others? Or is it just that I don't care about others? You know, these questions have to be raised. We're out of time again, but we're going to be right back, folks, talking to Dr. Anjay Turkanek. The website, I recommend you go there, qvinstitute.org. We'll be right back.
Inspiring story that reminds us we're never too young to make an impact.
Phoenix, over here!
Phoenix Wilder and the Great Elephant Adventure.
Nothing can stop us!
An orphan boy, Phoenix Wilder, befriends a giant elephant on the African savanna and defeats poachers.
This boy will bring us a huge ransom.
Let me go.
One night only at a theater near you this Monday night. Phoenix Wilder and the Great Elephant Adventure. Rated G. Click phoenixwilder.com.
Wondering how you can make a difference with your cell phone? Check out Patriot Mobile, America's only conservative cell phone company. Patriot's mission is to provide a portion of their profits to conservative causes. You get the same great nationwide service as Big Mobile, transparent pricing, competitive plans, easy switching, discounts for active military, veterans, and first responders. All you need to know is their address, patriotmobile.com. That's patriotmobile.com. Patriot Mobile, built on conservative principles.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-721-4880. That's 800-721-4880. 800-721-4880. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Yeah, she's a bad mamma jamma. We know. Just as fine as she can be. We know. I'm talking to Dr. Anjay Turkanek, a native of Poland, currently lives in Salzburg, Austria, the head of the Quo Vadis Institute. Just a few minutes left. We were talking about nationalism. Can you say more about that? Because I know that what we haven't seen – I think that people pretending as though Trump's nationalistic tendencies are fascist or as though they are in line with white supremacists. I personally think that's nonsense. I think it's people who really are misunderstanding something and pretending that something which is incredibly tiny is big. But it seems that that's not the case in Europe. In Europe, there have been genuinely fascist and nationalistic organizations, you know, the Golden Dawn in Greece and other – which really have troubling seriously troubling aspects.
Yes, and we've had those, unfortunately, for the longest time, even before the fascist movements have come to fruition. In the 30s, they were these elements were there. So we have to remember that actually this is the longest time that Europe was at peace. This is since the Second World War.
Yeah.
All things considered, since the 13th century is the longest time that the major parties, the major countries, nations were not in war.
Well, isn't that because you could almost argue that the nations no longer exist, that there's this larger thing, greater Europe, which supersedes those nation states? In other words, even though people have those many of those tribal impulses probably come about precisely because the national identity has been weakened.
I'm not sure if I would agree with this. The national identity is there. People are very proud of being Czech or Swedish or whatever. No, I think the problem has been that we have misunderstood the role that the European Union was supposed to play, or, as I said, part of it has been erased. It was never meant to be the United States of Europe.
Mm.
The idea was always to work together and, again, to keep the war at bay.
Right.
Okay? So as a peace process, this has worked wonderfully. What has not been great is the overbearing amount of bureaucracy in this and that.
Yeah.
But of course, every organization grows in this way, and unless it is kept in check, you've got a problem.
And you have to have principles that say governmental power needs to be in check.
Indeed. And so I think some of the movements, some of the nationalistic movements have actually called the bluff, and there is a restructuring that needs to happen.
Yeah.
At the same time, we need some kind of a union because otherwise smaller countries will go under.
Right.
I think it is very important.
It's extraordinary to think that we're at a place where, war between European powers strikes us today as unthinkable. The idea that Frenchmen could be killing Germans and Germans could be – it just seems in this day and age, I think it's a very healthy thing to see that this feels like a distant memory, and we want to keep it that way.
But we must remember history. If we don't,
that's right.
And this is, and part of the issue is actually keep reminding people of this.
Well, I'm so glad that you passed through New York on your travels here in the U.S. Dr. Anjay Turkanek, anytime you're back in New York, let us know. It'd be a joy to have you back.
Thanks so much, Eric.
Folks, that's the Eric Metaxas Show. Please tell your friends. Go to MetaxasTalk.com and get the app on your phone. Just put in the at the App Store, Eric Metaxas. It'll come up. Thanks for listening.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.